From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled Absolute Assurance. The text is Hebrews 13 and verse 5. He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Several times in the Scriptures the Lord hath said this. He has often repeated it, to make our assurance doubly sure. Let us never harbor a doubt of it. In itself the promise is specially emphatic. In the Greek it has five negatives, each one definitely shutting out the possibility of the Lord's ever leaving one of His people so that He can justly feel forsaken of His God. This priceless Scripture does not promise us exemption from trouble, but it does secure us against desertion. We may be called to traverse strange ways, but we shall always have our Lord's company, assistance, and provision. We need not covet money, for we shall always have our God, and God is better than gold. His favor is better than fortune. We ought surely to be content with such things as we have, for he who has God has more than all the world besides. What can we have beyond the infinite? What more can we desire than almighty goodness? Come, my heart, if God says he will never leave thee nor forsake thee, be thou much in prayer for grace, that thou mayest never leave thy Lord, nor even for a moment forsake his ways.
Trial brings, we have seen victory.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. In expounding Paul's epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns has been preaching a message called Knowing, Reckoning, and Yielding. The text is chapter 6, verses 3 through 14. Over and over in this chapter, Paul uses the expression, Know ye not? Paul speaks of the old man and the new man. The old man is what a person is in Adam. The new man is what he becomes in Christ when he is saved. The Christian is said to have died in Christ when the Savior hung on the cross. This refers to the believer's position, not to some experience. As the Christian knows this truth about himself, he is to reckon on it, or to account that it is really so, and live accordingly. The final step is yielding to God, or personal consecration. This is the essence of true holiness. Now Dr. Cairns will conclude this message, Knowing, Reckoning, and Yielding.
A believer is justified. A believer died unto sin. Every believer died unto sin. My reckoning doesn't make it true. I reckon upon it because it is true. Take your stand on what you know to be true by your faith in the gospel. Know this. Here's the truth. Know it. Now listen, you can't reckon on it if you don't know it. There's the trouble. There's so much ignorance among God's people as to what the Bible really teaches about our justification, our union with Christ, our acceptance in Christ, the imputation of the righteousness of Christ to us, how God views and treats a Christian. There is so much ignorance on those things that there you have the root of much of the confusion that leads God's people even to despair at times. Know this. And once you know it, then take your stand on it. In every situation in life, let us learn this. And I understand this is easier to say, because life is real and the battles are real. But when you're facing anything, you've got to bring it down to the basics. I'm justified. I'm in Christ. I'm not in Adam. I know that I'm justified. I know what the Bible says. I know what the gospel teaches. Now, in the light of what the gospel teaches, what should I do? I'm reckoning on the truth of the gospel here. That's the second step. And the third, then, is yielding. And that's personal consecration. Verse 13 says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. This is the final step. Notice it comes third, no, reckon, yield. And yet, in most places, people try to make it the first. And that's the tragedy of so many consecration meetings. And I'm all for Christian consecration. But the tragedy is, people are being urged, yield, yield, yield. And you have Christians, and they're running around, they're getting in ever smaller circles. They remind me of little dogs chasing their tails. And they're saying, Lord, I'm yielding, I'm yielding. I don't know what I'm yielding, or how I'm yielding, or where I'm yielding. But Lord, I'm yielding, I'm yielding. And I admire the sincerity. But I've been there. I've been there. And I know the utter frustration. You see, you first know, then you reckon. And taking your stand on the gospel of a free justification, then you present your body to God. Then you yield because of the fact that we're dead in Christ unto sin, that we're no longer in Adam, but now we're in Christ. Because of that fact, now we can reckon on it and deny sin the use of our bodies, and rather present those bodies unto the Lord for His use. Reckoning unto the truth that I died unto sin in Christ and rose unto God in Christ, can I do anything else but yield my limbs and my faculties, my body and my life to Him? And doing that is the very essence of Christian victory over sin. It's the essence of the practice of true holiness. And if you're a Christian, hear what I say. If you're a Christian, true holiness is the deepest desire of your heart. And if you don't have that fundamental desire to be holy, if you're at home and happy in your sin, and your profession of faith is just an insurance policy from the fires of hell in your mind, you are yet in your sin. You need to be saved. Oh, a Christian, because he died unto sin in Christ, and he rose again in Christ, and he's no longer in Adam, but he's in Christ, he desires to be holy. But here are the three key words in pursuing that desire: knowing the truth reckoning or taking your stand on the truth, making your calculations on the basis of the truth of the gospel. Do you see how that's different from the way we live? So much of our lives are spent in reaction. We react to the moment, to the stimulus of the moment, to the circumstances of the moment, to the immediate gains and losses, to the pain and suffering, or to the excitement or joy or whatever. You know, we're always reacting at the moment. No. He says, back off here. Take your stand on the truth. Let the truth govern your thinking. Let the gospel saturate your mind. As he says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let this take control of your thought processes so that, saturated with the truth of the gospel, you can take your stand upon truth, and you will no longer be susceptible to the degree otherwise you would be to the deception and the lie and the stimulus of the devil. Know and reckon. And as you take your stand on the truth, yield yourself unto God. Now, these are far from being the only essential terms in the passage before us. And we'll get to the rest in due course. But these are vital. Ignorance of the true meaning of the gospel of justifying grace is robbing many Christians of their joy and of their victory. It's not that they're insincere. It's not that they haven't made valiant efforts. But ignorance of the true import of the gospel. We see this all around us. Maybe you've been brought up this way. You see it in outlines of Bible books by great scholars and great commentators. They analyze a book. The usual way is doctrinal and practical. A lot of rubbish. Utter, absolute rubbish. Who ever told you that doctrine wasn't practical? You see, it's not dichotomy. Here's the doctrine. Now let's get that out of the way. Now here's our duties. But you see, when you read Paul's epistles, and I take this to be written by Paul, some disagree, but take an epistle like Hebrews, you'll find that the doctrine is full of exhortations to practice, and the practice is full of expositions of doctrine. You can't have that dichotomy, that division. It's not the way God divides his truth. Listen, ignorance of the gospel, where you have people trying to live as if the gospel's just what a man gets saved by, but he needs other principles to live by, that is almost heretical. In fact, I honestly believe, I say almost because many men are better than their stated theological positions. But if people really understood what they were saying there, that is heretical. And that's what has infected so many fundamental churches and so many evangelical churches and so many reformed churches. You have people living by principles. Principles in the Word of God, Hebrews 6, are the fundamental doctrines of the gospel. That's what God means by principles. He doesn't mean here's four principles in how to raise your children, or here are four principles and 10 principles or whatever for something else. And it's usually some little psychological gimmick with a Bible text taken out of context, added on the end of it. It's not how you live the Christian life. Ignorance of the gospel is what's robbing so many Christians of their joy and of their victory. Failure to reckon on the fact that we died unto sin is causing so many people to fall into confusion as they misapply Paul's words, and they're seeking to do what God says he has already done. He put the old man to death, And they're running around wishing, trying, I want to put the old man to death. What you need to do is reckon on what God says he has done. And then severing and yielding from its proper foundations, that is, of knowing and reckoning, is leading so many lives into fruitless introspection, into defeat, and into frustration. As I was thinking of this passage, my mind went to the words of the psalmist, "As for God, his way is perfect." And that was never more true than in the way of sanctification. I appeal to you, do not waste your time and your effort on human theories. God says, no, reckon and yield. And as we make our way more slowly through this passage, you'll find that is the way to deal with sin. That's the way to live in victory. That's the way to live in the power of Christ's resurrection life. Let's bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee that thy salvation in many ways is so simple that the wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And Lord, we know that's simple enough for us to understand. We know, Lord, that thou hast said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And again, that's simple enough for us to understand. Lord, we bless thee for the simplicity. And we would pray that thou wilt lead men and women and young people to take their stand on that simple statement of truth, and under conviction of sin, to fly to the Savior. But, O Lord, we realize that there is a depth, a profound depth, in the gospel of grace that defies the greatest intellects the world has ever seen. Here is something whose depths we will be plumbing for all eternity, and never even then will we exhaust the fullness of God's plan of redemption in Christ. Father, we pray, expand our knowledge of the gospel. Lord, lead your people to know and to come more and more into a deep realization by faith. Lord, this is not to tickle our intellect. This is not, O God, to give us some proud theoretical or philosophical knowledge. Lord, we pray, give us the knowledge of believing faith. And, O God, teach us to take our stand every day on truth. Every moment on truth. Help us to face temptation consciously invoking the truth of our justification. Help us, O God, to contend with Satan and with the wiles of Satan in the world, to contend with these things consciously, taking our stand upon the gospel of free grace through the blood and righteousness of Christ. Lord, help us to reckon. And all them take these bodies, take these lives. Lord, they have no other purpose than to glorify thee. Save us from ever using our limbs and our faculties as weapons for the devil and for sin. Lord, take them and use them as weapons for God against all the powers of hell. So, Lord, hear our cry. Give fruit to the preaching of the word. Save the lost. Restore the cold in heart. Revive the faint and the weary. quicken thy people. And, O God, grant that we shall know what it is to live in the resurrection power of our living Lord Jesus Christ. Hear us now. Part us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear, which is the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom. Lord, we pray that thy grace and mercy and peace will be our portion now and evermore. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.